For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Praise the Lord. We're looking at tonight answering the false science of evolution, and we deliberately call evolution belief and theory false science. We deliberately call it that. It is an atheistic doctrine. It is a doctrine that is propagated, sadly, through much of our education system today. Let's open in prayer and commit this to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you tonight, Lord, that we have the privilege of your word in our hands, and that you have taken us out of darkness and brought us into light. And we thank you for the light of your word, and we thank you for the entrance of that word coming into our hearts to give us light. And Lord, we ask that tonight there be entrance of your word into our hearts once again in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So one of the enormous problems in our society today is the undermining of the foundation of truth in our society, and we see great evidence in that in our educational system, and you see much of the media also pushes this particular false science. Well, we're going to look at how we might answer this false science, and it's very, very important for us to be people that are able to answer. So we ask the question, first of all, is evolution belief a false science? Is evolution belief a false science? Many on the earth today would say, no, it's not. They would say creationism is false. And yet we know from the word of God that in the beginning God created, and this is very important for us to see, that in the beginning there was God, okay? God from eternity past to eternity future. We know that God has always existed, and there was a creation event where God made all things invisible and visible in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Now this is a cardinal Christian doctrine, the Christian doctrine of creation, and to deny that is to deny the Almighty. So evolution belief says that there is no God and that the whole universe happened over time through chance, random processes, but it actually has no foundation in reality. And anyone that's done a bit of study on it will know that where there are findings that disagree with evolution, those who are in blindness and have ideas that contradict the truth will tend to either discard them, scrap them, pigeonhole them, or disregard them, and will accept the ideas of man rather than the ideas or the truth of God. And this is a very, very important thing to understand, because you cannot be neutral in this area. And sadly, there's some Christians who think that they can be sort of in between, and they have what is known as theistic evolution doctrine. God used evolution to create and things like that. And that's a compromise. And it disagrees with the Bible, and there is nothing in the Bible which in any way indicates that God used evolution or anything like that. So there are answers we need to have, very clear answers. And if you don't have a clear creation doctrine, you're going to find it very difficult to answer atheistic type questions if they need to be answered. And of course, the Lord tells us that they need to be answered. And we see here continuing with the question, is evolution belief a false science? Let's quote 1 Timothy 6 verses 20 and 21a. It says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. So we see very clearly that this science falsely so called, science means a system of knowledge, it falsely so calls itself a science because it's saying, well, we have a system of knowledge about the origin of the universe and the origin of living creatures and including the origin of man. But it's in opposition to our faith. And you can see that some people err or have erred concerning the faith because they get into professing false science, and evolution is one of those. And by their professing, even in a compromised way, for example, as I said before, the theistic evolution type doctrine that God used evolution, so they don't say God didn't exist, but they say God used evolution, it's a compromise. And the nonsense of evolution, here's just one example of a evolutionary book, A Universe from Nothing. Now, this is the belief that people have to have if they don't have God. They have to believe that everything came about from nothing, and they call it the Big Bang. And it's just pure nonsense. If you think about it, it's pure nonsense. Okay, there's all types of laws in place, and the law of cause and effect means that everything that has a cause and produces an effect has come from something previous. So, does evolution contradict the Creator? Well, as I said before, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. As I said, that's a cardinal doctrine. It's held by Bible-believing Christians across the earth and throughout history. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him, it's by Christ, were all things created. As it says, all things, not just some, but all things created. So the Bible points to creation. Creation. All things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now, in answering the doctrine of evolution or the false science of evolution, we have to have what I believe is a cardinal belief within us. And that is that the Holy Bible, as truth, is the only viable viewpoint. In other words, if something is saying things that are contradictory to what we have in the Holy Bible, for example, that God created, then that viewpoint is wrong, not the Holy Bible. And if you have that firmly in your heart, that God's word is truth, no matter what man says or what false science might say, and it might even sound reasonable, then you will know that upon investigation and having an understanding of the Word of God, you will know that that particular viewpoint that disagrees with God is wrong. So we have to have within us a very firm belief and understanding that if anything, and I'm talking about an entire system, for example, a false science such as evolution, if anything is devised that is clearly against the Word of God, then that system, that viewpoint is wrong. And even if it sounds in some ways, and believe me, I don't think evolution sounds right in any sense now, but even if it sounds right to people's ears, then it is wrong and can be shown to be wrong. And it's very important that you understand every person has a worldview. Every person has an understanding or the way they view things that they see all around them. Okay, when people look at the trees and the animals and the planet Earth and the sun and the stars and all that type of thing, they automatically the question comes out: where did this come from? What's the origin of it? Sadly, you have so-called documentaries that show the beauty of creation. Even in a fallen creation, you can see beauty, and yet it's pushing very, very strongly the doctrine of evolution. What a sad situation it is in today's world. So what answers should we give? I'm going to read 1 Peter 3 verse 15, which is a key scripture, but it's not quoted correctly by everyone. Let me just quote it out. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." How many times have you heard people say, "Well, the Bible says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks or asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So what are they leaving out? That first part, isn't it? "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." And the way we do this is we're saying in our hearts, "God, Lord, you are right, your word is right." And we have within us a spirit, a born-again spirit, that is connected to the Holy Ghost, who knows all things. And our born-again spirit, by being connected to the Holy Ghost, has access to answers and knowledge. Okay? And as we put the Word of God into our heart, the Holy Ghost can use that. Now, we know that every person on earth is unique. You know, I might have the same question, "Where did we come from?" might be asked of several people. But should we give the exact same answer to, say, let's say, five different people? I believe we need to say to the Lord and seek the Lord, "Lord, what answer should I give?" In other words, we must be knowledgeable people. We must, as I said before, understand the doctrine of creation, and also that there is that false science of evolution. So understand somewhat what that false science is saying. But we have to be ready, that's what it says there, to give an answer to every man. So it's singling out every man. And it deliberately says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart." So you can have five different people asking the same question, but you should ask the Lord, "Lord, how do I answer that person?" Not have a rote book. "Oh, if they ask that question, then I should go say that, that, and that." I believe that can put you into a trap. Now, surely we must be people of knowledge, as I said before, understanding science in the right way. And there is a whole system of creation science. There's many books and textbooks that have been written around that. And a lot of what it says is very good and in agreement with the Bible. And that's the key, isn't it? It's in agreement with the Bible. So we must be knowledgeable about that and be students of the Word of God and be students in the right way. Okay, so God's not against us being knowledgeable people. But I do believe that people can fall into a trap if they think, or if there's five people or 20 people or two people, they have a particular question, that automatically we say we've got that particular answer. No, we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and we're ready always. We're ready to give an answer that comes from the Lord, to be able to answer every man that asks of the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. So it's important for us to see that. One of the reasons is that there will be out there mockers and there'll be genuine seekers. And they could ask the same question, but a mocker would ask it like this. Oh, where did everything come from? In a mocking way. Whereas a genuine seeker might say, where did everything come from? I really want to know. And you can see that, and you can look at the life of Jesus, how he would answer some people one way and answer others in another way, and many times he asked them questions. So we need to be people that are understanding that when we're answering the false science of evolution, we have to be knowledgeable, as I said before, but we also have to be led of the Spirit. That mocker may need a very clear, stern, almost rebuking question of him or her. Okay, such as, do you think it's even logical, such and such, you know? But you ask the Lord, how do I answer this? How do I answer this? And this is a very important thing. Jude 17 and 18 says, but beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. So be prepared for mockers. Okay, sometimes you don't answer them at all. That might be what the Lord wants you to do, give no answer. Sometimes you answer a person, the Bible says, answer a fool according to his folly, answer a fool not according to his folly. So that means that there's a circumstances where you would answer a fool, circumstances where you'd answer a fool in a different way. And the Bible says, but the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So looking at what are godly answers, sometimes the answers are not what people want to hear, but they must be what God wants you to speak. Each person is unique, so trust God for answers. Be ready to be used by God. Obviously that's why we're on earth, to do the works of God, to speak his word, to preach the gospel, to teach all nations and so on. So Luke 21 verses 14 and 15, and this is in a negative sense, but it surely it applies if we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. It applies that we should ask the Lord specifically. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer, and what particular, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. So who's giving you a mouth and wisdom? It's the Lord, isn't it? And you must always trust the Lord. And as you feed yourself with the right type of knowledge and the Word of God, you're feeding yourself. That's what the Lord can use. And even more than that, because as I said, your born again spirit is linked to the Holy Ghost, who knows all things. And by the way, he knows the hearts of men and women who are asking the questions. So you can see that what we're looking at tonight is, all right, how are we going to approach this whole situation? It also applies to when the church must teach all nations. Obviously, there's going to have to be an entire rework of the education system. So how does mankind learn? And this is important. Mankind uses the structure he sees all around him as one way to learn things. And we'll look at a scripture in a minute about that. The word of God is the truth that makes sense, so must be taught. The Bible says, teach all nations. See Matthew 28 verse 19. So here's an example where you can look at creation and you can get a lesson. You can learn from it. In Proverbs 6 verses 6 to 8 it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And you'll notice also that Jesus, in his parables, often had nature or creation involved, such as the parable of the sower and the seed being sown into the ground. He used this as a way of teaching. We see another example. If you have a look in Psalm 19, we'll just read a few verses out of Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 1. It will go verses 1 to 4. And I want you to notice some key words in here. In Psalm 19, verses 1 to 4. So Psalm 19, verses 1 to 4 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun." So what do we see here? Well, God is clearly telling us that people can get, by looking at creation, and here he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." So you can look at the heavens, you can look at the firmament. Okay? And what does it say? It uttereth speech, it showeth knowledge. And in verse 4, it even says their words, okay, through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So there's words being spoken through the creation as well. So we can see that knowledge, as I said before, mankind uses structure he sees around him as one way to learn things. So we can see that knowledge can be imparted in that way to people. People can actually come to an understanding that there has to be a creator. In fact, the Bible says, "He that built all things is God." So they can say, "Well, look, there are building blocks," and the scientists of today really don't have much excuse, because they're going down into microscopic levels, and they're seeing, for example, in the human body, they're seeing cells, which are clear building blocks for the flesh and blood and so on. They see systems, they see laws operating. You know, a doctor, for example, cannot diagnose or prescribe without a knowledge of the systems in the body, and they have to be predictable systems that they can use, for example, medicine or various applications, or even in surgeries, that they can apply and get a result. If it was all random, if there was no laws operating or systems operating, they would never clue what to do, because one minute it'd be doing that and the next thing it'd be doing that. And so people really have no excuse, because in the natural they're looking at people are looking at the natural and getting that knowledge, and it's good knowledge, obviously. And they can get various lessons and words and so on. Of course, it's not enough, because people have to have the Word of God and the Gospel to know everything that needs to be known, or obviously to be led into the greater knowledge of God. The Word of God must be preached and taught. That's why Teach All Nations is very, very important. But we know that if you looked at creation with a proper heart, an honest type of way, you would not come to the conclusion that everything just came about through random chance processes. If everything came about through random chance processes, why would there even be the laws of nature, for example? You know, it makes complete sense when you look at the scripture and take a creation doctrine to everything. Everything's been built by God, everything's been designed by God, and so when we look at creation, we can get an idea of how God is because of the intricacies and so on. Now, do understand, we'll look at it in a bit more detail later, that we are on a fallen, in a fallen universe because of man, a man's sin. And the Bible says sin entered into the world and death by sin. So we know very clearly that there's been a fall, and the Bible says that the whole of creation groaneth and travaileth. Now, so we do see that within creation now there's the effects of the curse. There's thorns and thistles and nettles. There's hurricanes and earthquakes and volcanoes and all types of destructive things. But that's not what God said right at the very beginning of creation. He looked at all that he had made and he said that it was good. Okay? It was sin that caused the curse to come in to the creation. So why are people without excuse about creation? And as I said before, because it is not hard to see that everything around us has design and purpose. Romans 1 verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world," what's those words? "Clearly seen," this is the Bible speaking here, "clearly seen, being understood by the things that are," what? "Made." So look at creation, they're the things that are made. "Even his eternal power and Godhead." So you can even see, well, someone of immense power has put this together. "So that they are," what does it say? "Without excuse." As far as God is concerned, you're without excuse, and you're a fool if you say in your heart there is no God. That's what God says. Okay? So, is design evident in creation? Well, I mentioned before about this scripture. Hebrews 3 verse 4 says, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." So what's the scripture pointing to? The scripture's pointing to creation and saying, look, it's been built. So we should be able to look at creation and see the building and structure of that. It shouldn't be hard to see that. Okay? And, you know, the comparison there is every house is builded by some man. So we don't see a house on a corner and say, well, that just came about by an explosion. You know, there was an explosion of timber and bricks and mortar and it went boom! And suddenly a house appeared. Oh, no. Perhaps it appeared over several centuries or decades, perhaps over a few million years. And I think we've got to see the stupidity of the false science of evolution, and sadly there's many that I would say have not really given it much thought, and they've just swallowed the lies of the devil and the lies of men without God in this area. So, look, there's many examples of obvious design in creation. If people are honest, they would understand this. The sun is at the right distance from the earth. In fact, even scientists, secular scientists, call Earth the Goldilocks planet. Why? Because it's just right, at just the right distance from the earth to allow life to flourish. Okay, isn't that wonderful? Even scientists are calling it the Goldilocks planet, just right. Why? Because it's been designed for that, designed for life. The Bible says that God made it to be inhabited. Okay, so the sun is at the right distance from the earth. The air was with the right composition for breathing. Okay. Seeds have a blueprint in them to grow into full plants and animals. In fact, all living creatures are around the seed principle, if you think about it. Water is fit to sustain life and growth. The firmament of the atmosphere is acting as a protective barrier. Okay. I remember reading a, I think it was in Time Life magazine, it was a, this article called Earth's Ethereal Barrier, the atmosphere, ethereal barrier. So they understood that it was a barrier that's been made particularly, or it's there particularly to keep out harmful radiation and to keep out most meteors do not get through the atmosphere. If a meteor strikes the Earth, it's called a meteorite and can form a crater. Okay. So the structure of animals for movement and function, you know, if you have a look at elbows and joints and so on, I mean, clearly designed for movement, isn't it? All types of systems within animals and within humans and so on. And by the way, I don't classify man with animals. Man is a distinct creation. All right. The wings of fowl or flying creatures made for flight. The moon's tidal action regulating the oceans. We could go through hundreds of other examples. Well, an evolutionist that doesn't believe that there is a God has to explain all of that away. Can you see what I'm saying? They have to explain it all away through their doctrine. Does that make sense? It doesn't, does it? Quoting from a book, Darwin's Black Box, a wonderful book, really. If you haven't read it, it's a fairly heavy read, but even a skim read through it will bring out some real gems. It's called The Biochemical Challenge to Evolution. Only in the last century has man been able to use microscopes to uncover molecular design, and Michael Bay in Darwin's Black Box says, as strange as it may seem, modern biochemistry has shown that the cell is operated by machines, literally molecular machines. Think about that. A machine. A machine has an input, has an output. Machinery. Machinery screams out design. Screams out design. So they're even more without excuse as science has become more intricate and as more and more technological details have been available to people. Even less excuse can they make. Is God's reliability shown in nature? Well, Jeremiah 31 verses 35 and 36 says, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Notice he uses the word ordinances, which speaks of laws, laws that are in action in creation. Think about the sun, there's a light by day, you know, a light, and it also gives out heat. So there's design, there's reliable, as I said before, reliable, firm laws operating in creation. Okay, so people cannot build things, people cannot fly aeroplanes, people cannot, as I said before, operate or give diagnoses for various conditions in the human body unless they understand that there are laws and they follow those laws. The law of lift for aeroplanes, for example. I mean, doesn't it make sense? I mean, there are people who go to university to get a degree, for example, a medical degree. Well, what are they studying? They're studying about systems and laws in operation. Okay, so a pilot is not an unskilled person. They have various skills, and they have to be knowledgeable about the various laws. They could not operate a plane without an understanding of those laws. What does it speak of? It speaks of a designed creation. But can man see his own limitations? You know, we mentioned before in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Declare the glory of God. The glory of God is immense. Jeremiah 31:37 says, "Thus saith the Lord, if the heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord." Well, he's not going to cast off all the seed of Israel. Okay. What he's saying is that man is limited. If in a million years man was still here on earth, I don't believe it'll be the case, and their technology increased so that they could see out into the universe to that level, do you know how big the universe actually would be? That much. In other words, it would be impossible for them to be able to, no matter how many years they have, come to a full knowledge of creation. Creation is limited, but it's out there, and man, God has made it so that man is limited as well. Okay. Man cannot measure the heaven above, since there are millions of galaxies, each with millions of stars and many other celestial bodies. It's a whole study in itself. You've heard of astrophysics? Once again, thinking about laws. So looking into the sky, we'll see orbits of planets. Yeah, regular orbits of planets. Do you know there's a physics law that determines that trajectory or that orbit? So what do you believe? 2 Timothy 3 verse 7. As I said right at the very beginning, you have to have the right knowledge of the truth firmly in you. God's not against knowledge. He actually points to the heavens and say, look, it's just showing knowledge. God's not against knowledge. He is against false science, though. He's against anything that says the opposite or in contradiction to the Word of God. But there are people ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. If you leave God out of the picture, you'll be in that category. Okay? Or if you put God aside and he is not your life, because Paul said, for me to live is Christ. If you put God aside, then you're leaving the one who has all the information, who can answer all questions. You're leaving him out of your life. And the knowledge of the truth will start evading you. And I think that's one of the problems with the modern day churches is through compromise and through watering down of the Word of God and watering down of doctrine and so on, there's been the knowledge of the truth taken away as a judgment. But if people return to the Lord and say, your word is true, God lives, I am limited without him, but with him I can do all things. If you come with that type of attitude, God will meet you and God will show you things. Praise the Lord. This comes from an Answers in Genesis cartoon of 1998. Why do people substitute false for true? Well, some people tolerate the wrong type of ideas and knowledge, false knowledge, to come into their midst. And you can see here it's showing a man using a highlighter, basically highlighting it. Well, I can't accept that scripture. And that doesn't agree with science, so I'll get rid of that. Well, that doesn't agree with my philosophy, so where's the scissors? I'll just get that one out. Oh, no, I'll just grab a modern version that says the opposite to what the King James Bible says. That'll solve the problem. No, that breeds an intolerance for the Word of God and for proper doctrine. So why do evolutionists deny design? Well, there's spiritual reasons attached to this. For spiritual reasons, they refuse God. Even if they see design, they deny that it is God and seek to explain it away. So Romans 1, verses 19 and 21 says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." Okay, so God's made it available, showed it unto them. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Notice that it's a heart issue. Foolish, as in denying God, saying there is no God, it's darkened. More darkness comes in. So that then they become more hardened, and so on. It needs the light of the glorious gospel of Christ and repentance of the sin of rejecting the Creator. So 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4a says, "In whom the God of this world," little g, God, talking about Satan, "the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." So Psalm 53 verse 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." It's not a good path to be on, to be saying in your heart, there is no God. First of all, it makes no sense, so invites nonsense into your heart. Invites, as we saw before, darkness and blindness and really hopelessness and despair. And it's a willing thing. It's an act of the will. Remember, it's a heart condition. 2 Peter 3 verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." So that willingly are ignorant of. You know, right across the earth, there's much evidence to show of a global flood, for example. And much evidence to show that fossils formed very quickly. Fossils are dead creatures preserved in rock. Okay? Preserved very quickly under cataclysmic conditions. This is not hard to see. Okay? But as I said right at the very beginning, ideas and findings that contradict a particular anti-God false science, evolution, those ideas are disregarded or explained away, and so on, because of the foolishness of their heart. And this is a big question. Why do sharp fangs and thorns exist? We talked a bit about it earlier on, that in Genesis 1 verse 31 it says everything that God had created was very good, very good. Well, he's not looking at a world that's come about through evolutionary means, where there's lots of death and suffering of animals and so on to get to a particular level. No, he's talking about everything he'd created. It's nothing to do with evolution. And so no Christian should be combining creation and evolution, or saying that God used evolution. But when sin entered into creation, it became cursed and corrupted, causing changes to reflect the curse. So Romans 5:12a says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." So there's a whole death cycle. Whole death cycle now. And of course, if you think about it, what is sickness and disease and infirmity wanting to do? was wanting to stop function, isn't it? Wanting to kill and steal and destroy. So that's part of the curse. It's wanting to if sickness is allowed or disease is allowed to take its full course, it can absolutely destroy and bring to death an organism, a human. So we see that Genesis 3:14, after the fall of man, it says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Have a look at Romans 8:22. Let's read that as well. Romans 8:22. So God is showing us that he didn't make everything the way we currently see it as it is in a fallen condition. He made it very good, and then it fell, and then it went into the curse. It became cursed. And Romans 8:22 is a real key scripture for us to understand. For we know, that's correct knowledge, isn't it? We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now God, that's not God's will for pain. In fact, if you go to the book of Revelation towards the end, you'll see that he takes away the curse. He wipes away every tear, and there's no more pain, no more curse. So what is the foundation? We're coming towards the end now. Well, John 17:17b says, "Thy word is truth." So Christian faith comes from taking the Holy Bible as true, believing it, and acting on it. Of course, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the more we look into the word, the more God confirms himself. The more God shows himself. The more God will reveal light into your life and shine even in dark places. But we have to be open to God's teaching, open to God's law. Praise the Lord. So we believe the Bible because God has been faithful to bring it to us. Okay? We have it, we believe what it says, we understand that man is fallible, and sinful man especially is in darkness. So where are many today? 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved." Men and women must love the truth. Christians must love the truth. And so it must be abhorrent to us when we see evil or false science. In fact, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. But we have the fear of the Lord. We serve God acceptably and in the fear of the Lord. And so we love the truth. That's something we should be loving. But, you know, we shouldn't be loving error. We should be loving the truth. Praise the Lord. So for more information, there's much, much more information on the website under Sermons and Studies, the Victory Faith Centre website. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your revelation. We thank you for showing us how we must walk. And Lord, we commit ourselves afresh to loving the truth, loving you, loving your ways, loving the Holy Bible. And Lord, we ask that you continue to reveal to us through the light of your word, reveal to us in this area of creation, and shine light upon the darkness that we may see it for what it is. Help everyone here, Lord, to grow in the knowledge of God. In Jesus' name.